happens, I guess. So,
okay, so to fill everybody in on what we didn't record that we were just talking about, we were just talking about how freaky someone has to look for Kurt to still be willing to fuck them, and if he would do a Namor and fuck someone who looks like a cephalopod. I say he won't.
I mean, I'm cool with that, but also, I mean, I just want to see the conversation. Marvel, let's go. I mean, you can hire me to write it. I mean, you can hire someone else that knows what they're doing more than I do. Like,
I just think these questions have to be asked and these discussions have to be made, because, like, how many times do I have to read about Wolverine's foreskin before I say, like, can we talk about something else?
I mean, that's the tea. I mean, that's a new t-shirt. How many times do I have to hear about Wolverine's foreskin till we can talk about something else?
That is a great shirt. That is straight, succinct, to the point. I mean,
Don't wear to schools, everybody. Any, you know, elementary, middle school. Don't wear
them. Excuse me. I don't see why not. What's a child going to do? Say, what's a foreskin? And that's a great opportunity to give them some deeply needed sexual education that is missing in this country. And don't make it sound like I'm a pedo trying to say that kind of stuff. No. I'm saying they need to know about the basics. That's all.
It's health education. Damn, you got me, because I should have said that. I'm the one that has a health ed degree. Absolutely.
I'm like 90% saying, Lauren, cut all this out because it sounds crazy. But anyway, guys, welcome back to Simply Amazing, the podcast where me and Lauren talk about fucking anything, I guess. I mean, at this point.
we tried to structure things, and then we don't even structure it that much. But what we do structure, we somehow completely destroy.
I mean, fair. That's basically it. What we make, we destroy. I mean, I
wanted a more specific word, like a stronger word. But see, I can't even find a stronger word for stronger right now. So it's fine.
I mean, girl, we're two white girls. I mean, we destroy. That makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying.
We're starting off like this, man. First fucking fish, now this. What are we?
That I don't even know. I don't know anymore. I know I'm basic and I'm proud of it. So I'm proud to be basic, everybody.
I'm proud to be basic and it's a picture of Kurt. And then it's like, what?
Exactly. BAMP, B stands for BAMP and B stands for basic. So there you go. Like, if I teleported around, it would say basic instead of BAMP. So,
oh my God, somebody needs to draw that. Somebody needs to make a comic and then just put Lisa in as a background character and then make her teleport. And then when she teleports, it says
basic.
That would make my entire life. I would buy it and I would frame it and I would never let Lisa forget it.
And my teleportations clouds spell like pumpkin spice.
Yes. I love it.
Oh my God. I love this character we've just come up with.
I love you as a comic book character. We gotta make this happen.
BWB, basic white bitch.
It's perfect.
I'm obsessed.
Anybody that's interested, hit us up. We're very for real. We may sound like we're not, but we're very, at least I'm very serious. Lisa probably doesn't think I am, but I'm very serious.
I might be going crazy just in general, but I really think this is a great idea. No one steal it.
Yeah, if you want to, we'll commission it out of you. Just let us know. We will pay you to do the work, obviously.
Yes, obviously. Well, anyway, we're actually here to talk about something, talking about.
This is why we're talking about everything but what we're here to talk about, because I don't want to talk about what we're going to talk about, but it must be spoken about. It needs to be dealt with.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to say that low-key we manifested this.
Did we?
Well, because we just covered the issue where Kurt leaves the X-Men. Like, just a couple weeks ago, we did that issue. And now Kurt's leaving the X-Men.
Oh, like with the other Nightcrawler series.
The one, remember, where he goes to Germany and the girl who sniffs.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah. You know what we did? It's another Simply Amazing manifestation. Does anybody have a tally list? Anybody keeping track for us? Let us know, because
I'm sure Kieran Gillen is, and I'm sure Chris Evans are. They both listen, so we know.
Yeah, our two celebrity listeners. or two yeah. of them. We know Gail Simone listens now too.
Yeah, Chris Pine listens. Chris Pratt does not listen, but it's okay. We don't need him.
Oh, God, we really don't. That's the wrong Chris. Chris Pine, hit us up.
Remember when Chris Pratt was just Andy on Parks and Rec and, like, everybody loved him?
Yeah, and now it's funny you mentioned Parks and Rec because that's, like, one of my favorite shows of all time. And I was watching it last night because I was feeling kind of out of it. So I was rewatching it. And now that Chris Pratt is just, you know, who the fuck he is, Andy's character is so fucking terrible to watch now because I'm like, before when I thought he was like charming and funny and nice, it was endearing to see his character be the way he is on there. But now when I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, this is just fucking gross and creepy to me now. Like, no, I was like, you ruined this character for me.
I know.
The other characters are fantastic though.
What?
The other characters are still fantastic though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. It's a great show. Anyway, yeah, we are here to talk about stuff. That's not everything we're trying to talk about, right? So let's talk about Sons of X.
Actually Fall of X, colon, Sons of X, number one, because Marvel had to do that.
That's fair. And is there a number two? We don't know. We've never heard about it. We don't know
her. I'm pretty sure this is a one-shot, so we don't know her.
One of one. Okay. So there you go. That's for those of you who are completionists. And like to have the entirety of an entire collection, this is an easy one because it's one. So, but it's also numbered, interestingly enough. Anyway, getting to the issue, I don't even really need to go through the whole thing. I mean, let's basically, essentially what I remember from reading it is Kurt in his demon form may have killed some people or maybe some clone of Kurt. Who knows? We don't know. Basically, some people died and Kurt's blamed for it. And Kurt's like, I'm out, Scott. Like, hit my limit. You asked for too much. You asked for overtime too many times in a row. And like, every year the Christmas gift from X-Men was shit. And you guys are billionaires, so I'm done.
Yeah, they gave pins last year. I mean, you know, both. You know, last year it was P-I-N-S pins. The year before that it was P-E-N-S pins. Like, come on, guys, stop it.
Do you know what they gave out this year?
Oh no,
they gave out. Little like baggies that had a lifesaver in it, and it said, "Being an X-Men sure can suck, unless with you." Like that was the gift.
Damn it!
From Charles Xavier, the billionaire.
White men.
I mean. Well, to be fair, like, let's talk about Charles Xavier, the white man, for 2 seconds, please, because can I just say that, like, how appropriate is it that he has his A team, which are all the American kids. And then when the American kids fuck it up and get into a scrap, he's like, I guess I got to bring in some immigrants. And he goes and he like gets all these international kids in.
Yeah, no, that's 100% what he does. And
I want to see the X-Men's B1, B2 visas is what I'm saying. I don't believe that they're here illegally.
Oh, you know, we don't trust Professor Gaslighter. We don't do that nowadays. No.
That is true. That is true. Actually, I wonder if they're here. I wonder if the X-Men come on a work visa or a student visa.
Maybe student then becomes work when they're at a certain age, like they get older or something. Who knows?
This is the kind of shit that we need in our X-Men comics. I want to see the X-Men doing paperwork. I want to see them having to renew their visas. I want to see them having to like get passports. I want to see that shit.
Yeah, I mean, but why do they have to if they can just use telepathy on like government workers and have it done like quicker than government workers usually work?
So, honey, this is why you're a Magneto person. Xavier Fellowship for the tea.
Well, no, I'm not saying they should do that, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, if you think about it, like, of course, with Krakoa, right, especially when it first started, once they had, you know, we did see some of their, you know, the capitalistic crap of selling the medicine and things like that, right? You know, there's clearly a lot of paperwork, but again, like, if they need something expedited, like a passport, they're just going to be like, oh, shit, we need passports for tomorrow. All right. Mind control, blah, blah, blah. Okay, move on. Like, you know, I mean, you know, they wouldn't call it mind control. They'd be like, we would never do that, but that's what it is.
Actually, that's 100% tea because the Magneto, I don't want to call them the Brotherhood because they haven't been the Brotherhood in like 50 years, but, or 30 years, who knows? But someone does know, but I can't remember. Magneto and his whole cohort, Like, they'll mind control you, but they'll be like, that's how we're going to get this shit done. We're going to mind control. The X-Men, what they do is some of them mind control and the rest of them are like, we would never do that. We're not mind controlling. Never.
Yeah. And then the ones that do it, they're like, oh, but they have a reason. Oh, here's the justification. You're like, still kind of, you're still doing it though. Can you just admit you're still doing it, like, willingly?
That's it. And this is why Kurt is leaving the X-Men. I mean, this is not why, but it should be why he's leaving the X-Men, because they're just a bunch of gaslighters and they don't appreciate him. But yeah, basically he's going into hiding. He's leaving Krakoa because now he's a murderer-ish.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. All this was kind of forced upon him, forced against him. He basically became his own fucking nightmare of himself. So, I don't like that. I haven't liked it from the start. And now he gets come back to himself, but now he's kind of forced to just leave. I mean, what else is he going to do, right? Oh, but stay, Kurt, and be with us. Why would he do that, Scott? He's not dumb. Like, that's exactly basically what Kurt says is, look, I tried to be super hopeful. I tried to, you know, do this spark thing and be super optimistic. And that didn't work. It bit me in the butt no matter how much good I tried to do. Now I have to go figure out what the heck else I can do. And it's like, he's completely justified. And the X-Men have done nothing but screw him over. And I know a lot of people have the opinion that Krakoa has not been good for Kurt. And those opinions are very justified. Not saying that's my complete opinion, but I think they're very justified. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, yeah, now he's wanted for murder and he got to be a demon. We're back into 2000s again. Like,
yeah. So here's the thing. I think it's very in character for Kurt to, like, have an extreme reaction to finding out that he may have killed people, because he's not like, he's not a, unless we're talking about Darkholm, which Darkholm, he'll fucking kill you if you take his hot dog. But like, our Kurt, 616, he's not like, he can't separate himself like the way like the X-Force members do, you know, and like kill for the cause. Like, he sees every single person in front of him as a human being, someone's child, someone's love, someone's whatever. And that's what makes him so human and makes a lot of people empathize with him, is because he empathizes so much with other people. But so I could see him having an extreme reaction. I don't mind him leaving the X-Men. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, the X-Men have not done a lot for him recently. So let him go. Like, I am interested. So now I feel like we had this conversation when we talked about Uncanny Spider-Man. And, you know, we were talking about, like, why is he hiding himself? Now we know why he's going to hide himself, because he's basically a wanted criminal, which, I mean, you still have a tail. I mean, but. All right, you're high. You're doing okay,
yeah,
Kurt.
Yeah, like, nobody's going to guess you, because there's totally even just one other character I can think of that has a tail exactly like that shape, like with the point, and there's literally no one else that has a tail like him. I mean, even Nocturne's is different, so, like, and exactly, depending on what they decide to do with it, because they can't pick.
I mean,
I get it. I'm bi, so.
Girl, I mean, but... So basically now Kurt is he's no longer in his demon form. That's the good news. He's been, like, resurrected and he's been fixed. So he's doing good. I'm actually okay with him leaving the X-Men. That was not my big gripe about this. My big gripe had nothing to do with him leaving the X-Men. My gripe is about Margali, because they did her dirty.
I knew it. I was actually going to bring it up if you didn't, because I saw that and I was like, ooh, Lisa's going to tear this to shreds. And I don't blame you. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of her, but, like, they destroyed her character with this shit.
The thing is like, so it's, I feel like they did her dirty, but it's not something that the next writer can't just undo, because she's not such an enormous character that, like, this is like, oh my God, and it can't be undone by someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of hate that Cy Spurrier seems to have decided, in order to make Mother Superior this incredible character, he did it really at the, you know,
you
at
Mother
to
Righteous?
A definite, I'm sorry? Oh, Mother Righteous.
Mother Why Righteous. Mother
Superior? Who the fuck is Mother Superior?
I don't know. We're not Catholic here, though.
Is that a Catholic thing? Why did I say Mother Superior?
I don't know. I think it is, but.
I'm looking at, oh, it's a rock band. What is
well,
they?
Well, there you go, Lisa.
Oh, wait, no, it's a song by Coheed and Cambria. I don't even know who they are. I don't...
Well, they're a rival to Lisa and the snack, so they're going down.
That is true. Oh, the head of a convent is called Mother Superior. Maybe I've been dreaming about Sister Act. I don't freaking know. But it's a great movie. Don't even get me started.
It is. Both of them are. I think there's two, right?
There are two. I think Lauryn Hill is in the second one, isn't she? She plays one of the students.
I think so. I've been hearing, too, like, the last year or two that they're supposedly working on a Sister Act 3. We'll see if that happens with the strike and everything. But I'd be in.
I mean, we don't need it. We didn't need Hocus Pocus 2, and we don't need Sister Act 3. I got to be perfectly honest. I'm just going to say it.
Hocus Pocus 2 was still fun, though. It was still solid. But anyways, we're getting off topic again.
We are getting off topic again. So, yeah, I just felt like they just really did her character dirty. Like, she, in order for Mother Righteous to be this great villain, this great character, they had to take Margali and basically kneecap her and turn her into, like, this woman who had essentially sold her soul to Mother Righteous in order to have her spout on the winding way, which I don't put it beside Margali to, like, make deals with these characters, like, with sketchy characters. I mean, that's what you do when you're the freaking sorceress like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. For me, it just felt so, like, oh, this brand new character. It just feels, I don't like it. I don't think you needed to do that. I don't think you, Mother Righteous had already kind of established herself as this specific character. You didn't need to then turn it into, like, Margali has been working for her or working, all this bullshit. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I think Spurrier placed too many bets on Mother Righteous as a villain. And anytime, in order to accelerate another villain or hero to such an extent, you bring in a character, especially a woman or, you know, a person of color, things like that. And their sole purpose is to help this person be a better villain, because without their suffering or without, you know, deconstructing their character completely or whatnot, that villain can't thrive, then it's bad writing. Because I agree, there was no need for that. There's a better way to write that, you know, that interaction, those interactions between Margali and her, that didn't have to end in that result, and also still were more in character and were still more of a service to Margali. Like, what happened to Margali sucked, but you could have still had that happen to her, and I wouldn't necessarily agree with it, but if the discussions and the actions before that of hers had been more in character, it could have worked, but they weren't. So now you've added insult to injury of what happens to her. And it's kind of like, yeah, she was just pointless. You just completely disrespected her character. You could still have achieved what you wanted to and still respected the character. Yeah, I think it's just weak writing, to be honest. I'm not trying to, you know, say Spurrier's the worst, even though I'm not happy with what he's done with Kurt, but it was a shame. It didn't read well at all, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think the other thing that I'm trying to be, like, generous and be like, maybe he was trying to say that, you know, she had this deal with Mother Righteous, and therefore, I keep wanting to say Mother Superior, I don't know why. She had this deal with Mother Righteous, and through this deal with Mother Righteous, like, this is why she had to, you know, betray Kurt. But that doesn't come through. That's me applying my own interpretation to try and make it make sense, not like what I actually read. So, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Margali has not been dealt very well, period, in this whole event. So I'm not thrilled.
That wasn't written on the page. I think a lot of what you said that you're kind of taking, if you can, you know, to try to give some lenience and understanding. I think you're right. It's only things you can infer as a reader, and that's being a good reader. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, but that's the thing. It's not just our job to be good readers and be able to infer things and things like that. That needs to be in there. You know what I mean? Like, the writer at some point needs to make it clear that, hey, I do want you to get this. This is what I want you to infer, and that isn't clear. She's a throwaway character. And it's not right to her as a character. It's not right to Kurt and his backstory that we still don't really know what's considered canon anymore for his backstory, because they've changed it so many fucking times. Like, So just pick your own adventure at this point.
Yeah, exactly. In my adventure, Margali did not make that deal with Mother Righteous, and she's still the freaking sorceress, amazing person she is. But moving on from her, there's one other person who did get burned pretty bad in this issue, and that's Kurt himself, because Zen, what is that picture you painted? What even is that?
I mean, listen, we've been asking it, and we're going to talk about it now. Where the fuck is his dick, and why is he on, like, a cross X, like he's Jesus? Like, what? And she's the one that slept with him. What are you implying? What does it mean? What does it mean?
So, okay, 100%. The dick, we got to talk about the dick for 5 seconds. And I apologize to those out here listening who don't tune in for this kind of talk, but then what are you tuning in for? Because this is what we talk about.
Yeah, what are you here for? It's not the clean talk. Like,
yes. Yeah. So, I think the glaring omission of his dick in the painting would not be so, like, glaring if she hadn't, like, been fucking him up until that point. That's, I think, what makes it. And the thing is, it's like, you couldn't give him a fig leaf. I mean, I'm in art. I do art, and I took art history. And like, there were things you could have done. You could have given him a fig leaf. You could have given him a nice little, even Jesus, when you see images of Jesus on the cross, he's got a little loincloth. There's a lot you could have done, Zen, and you chose to do nothing. And that says everything.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because I'm really wondering who all, like, out of the creators, who had a say in that and what they were intending, right? Because, again, we can go on and try to figure out, like, what they were trying to get, you know, obviously, weapons then to intend. But I'm actually really interested to what the hell the creators are thinking. Like, was it the artist that was like, hey, okay, I'm going to draw this, and he's not going to have a dick? Was it Spurrier that said, hey, make sure he doesn't have a dick here? Was it editor? Like, what happened? What was the process of this? I need to know the process of removing Kurt's dick, because I need to know who we need to get to.
So here's a couple things that are going through my mind. Number one, and I think this is the most likely thing, is that Spurrier gave, I think it's Lucas Wernick did the art, I think, for this one. And
I think this one's Phil Noto, actually. He has a very specific style.
Shit, am I being an asshole and getting it wrong? Let me check.
I don't think you're an asshole. You just got mixed up. I think Wernick's been doing Immortal X-Men, but I might have that backwards myself. I'm pretty sure this one's Phil Noto, because I can't not recognize his style when I see it.
Okay, I think you're right. I'm sorry for getting it wrong. And now that the friggin' apps have changed, I don't know how to goddamn use this stupid thing. So now I can't even figure out how to look it up. Jesus. All right. Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Lauren, because she's almost always right. Oh yeah, Phil Noto. I just found it. It was on the cover in a tiny little box that I couldn't see at first.
There you go.
Phil Noto, you're right. Correct. So yes, Lauren is, as I said, Lauren is always right. God damn it. I got so distracted now by the artist. I'm like, oh yeah, the dick. That's what we were talking about.
It's a great conversation starter. And
it is a great conversation starter. So there's a couple things that I can kind of glean from it is, I think that it's Phil Noto. It was a decision made by Phil Noto. I think that Spurrier probably sent in notes that were very, like, basic, like, this is what I want to see. But he didn't say, I don't think Spurrier was like, hey, make sure he looks dickless. I think it was more just a decision made by an artist that he probably had no fucking idea would turn into this conversation online about where's Kurt's dick. That's number one. That's my number one theory. And I really think that that's probably what happened. My number two theory is this, and this is like getting fucking deep. My number two theory is, so Zen paints the truth, and Zen is painting the truth about Kurt and who he is, but not just who he is, what he sees himself as. And so when you look at how she painted him completely unclothed and undicked, so he actually resembles the Bamfs. Because that's right. What the Bamfs look like. The Bamfs don't wear clothes, and they don't have little dicks. They just have little Ken doll whatevers. And right. I mean, that we know of. I don't really need to get into the anatomy of a Bamf. I gotta be perfectly
honest. Oh no. That's like gonna be a whole other traumatizing episode.
Yeah, I think I'm drawing the line right there. But the other thing about Bamfs look like that. They look like Kurt, but they're incredibly animalistic. I am, again, I'm again reaching quite a bit for this, but I don't think it's impossible that this might be an intended intention of it, is Kurt kind of having to, like, Kurt having this insecurity about being a man who has these animal qualities about him. And the only things that look anything remotely like him are these, like, little tiny, like, blue balls of id that just scurry around, drink, and are like animals. So that's where I went with that.
I didn't think about the first one. I think that could be a thing in terms of, like, you know, maybe Phil Noto's like, I don't want to draw a dick. Like, it could be as simple as, like, no, either.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Disney doesn't want Phil Noto to draw a dick either, so.
I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe Phil didn't. I mean, but that's the thing, too. Editorial could have always censored it. You know, they could have had the painting on there, had a little censor thing over it, like it's TV, and then put an editorial note, you know, jokingly saying, like, censored for what the hell ever. And they didn't do that, so.
Or even a fig leaf, like Michelangelo's David. I mean, David wasn't made with a fig leaf. They had to add the fig leaf later.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it could be a lot of different things. It could be something very simple that we're all overanalyzing. I personally like to think it has a way of also representing his balance between his masculinity and his femininity. I think that would be really interesting. I don't think that's the actual case, though, because I don't think Spurrier would have written it that way. And not that I know Noto's art that well, but I don't think that would have been Phil Noto's intention either. It would have been something different. So,
well, I will say one thing. If you were going to make such an embarrassing portrait, you didn't have to do it on the side of the fucking buildings then. Like, seriously.
I mean, well, and, like, let's go back to the fact that, you know, he's looking like Jesus on a cross, but he's basically Jesus on the cross of the X-Men.
Well, like, yeah, I want to get into that in a second, but, like, just, I mean, imagine if a girl, like, painted an enormous mural about how tiny your dick is outside of the place you work. That's what she did.
Well, it's interesting, too, because he also looks younger in it. He looks, like, kind of like a teen, which that would be really creepy, so I hope it's not that. Or, like, at least a young adult, like his early 20s, which is still kind of weird. But, like, I don't know. That's what I kind of thought. It's like, why does he look younger, like, and, like, significantly so? I don't know what to think of that. Like,
actually, but, I mean, you're right. And he, I don't think he has, well, I can't really tell if he has a beard or not, because I can't tell if that's a beard or if that's, like, a shadow. But, yeah, I mean, he does look younger. He's missing, like, just human qualities. Like, he doesn't have a belly button or nipples. But, again, that could also just be having been left out by choice of the artist, in, you know, because it's drawn on a small page. But
Phil Noto, call us, please. We have questions.
Yes, where are Kurt's nipples? Hashtag, where are Kurt's nipples? But going to, like, the Jesus imagery of it all, I mean, I think the inference here, and I think this is why he's leaving the X-Men, is, like, the inference is that Kurt will die for his friends. He's already done it. It's not like this is news. He did it once.
I don't want it to happen again. It's too soon.
Kurt will martyr himself quickly and easily for his friends. And I think that's what she's saying here is like, you need to do what's right for you, because if you stay in this position, like, you will die for this cause again.
You know what? I think that's actually a really good interpretation. And, you know, I think that's why he kind of looks at it, and it just seems to further instill his decision to leave.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I'm going to go back a little bit and talk about, like, what. So Kurt and Zen talked a lot about love and loyalty in their little conversation in between their, you know, hanky panky. And hanky panky. What? Sorry. I'm becoming my grandmother. But, like, so they had most of their conversation had to do about love, about loyalty to people, and, you know, relationships. And so, with Kurt's part of it being, I mean, again, I haven't read this in over a year, so, but Kurt's part of it being about how important relationships are, important these people are, and all that stuff, and Zen's being more like, you know, look out for yourself and do what you need to do. And I think that that fits with this painting of her communicating to him, you know, hey, maybe you're not in such a great relationship with the X-Men. Maybe it's more of an abusive relationship and it's like you need to get out of it.
Yeah, she said, I'm going to play JoJo's leave, get out right now.
Exactly. She pulled out some Lundy Bancroft and she was like, no, this is, they're not treating you right.
Yeah, absolutely not. Welcome to Simply Amazing, where you get all the references. So no matter what age you are, you understand what we're talking about.
That is the case. That is the case. Unless you're like 100. In that case, I don't have much of a, I don't know. Clara Bow was the it girl in 1920s. That's what I got for you.
Oh, see, there's still something. There you go.
There's always something. There's always something. Don't come at me from the 1700s because I ain't got nothing to say about George Washington. He had wooden teeth. I don't fucking know. Anyway, so yeah, so Kurt is officially leaving the X-Men and he's doing it. But again, he's doing it for them. He's doing it. So it's still a martyr. It's still kind of like a martyred position because he's leaving the X-Men to protect the X-Men from him or his, or from him being like searched out. I don't know.
I mean, I think too, even if it wasn't said on the page, I think he kind of knows that there's only so much they can do to protect him, you know? And I don't think he wants the protection they can offer anymore. Because he's seen how far it's gotten him, and yeah, it's kind of, I think you're completely right. Like he needs to go do something else. He needs to form another Excalibur or another team or something. Or I guess, you know, he's gonna swing around and be a Spider-Man for a bit. We'll see where that goes. But you know,
I'm here for that adventure. I am here for the adventure of him being Spider-Man. I kind of think Kurt needs time away from a team. He needs to find himself. He needs to. Mm-hmm. Superhero with himself before he can superhero with other people.
I mean, I think so. I just wish Spurrier wasn't writing it because that's what takes away any hope I have. But I still have a little bit because I've heard some things that sound fun in this series. So
here's the other thing I think that we, I think the difference is that we've been watching Spurrier write a team book for a while. Maybe he's much better one-on-one with a character, and maybe we're going to see that. I don't know. Like,
well, see, that's the thing, though, is that even a team book, so that means he's writing other characters, too. So, but then he could, you know, how is it that, you know, you have Kurt leading a book, and so you could put more emphasis on him as a leader and then not do as well the art characters? Not that you should, but that can happen. And yet he did the opposite. At least I feel like he did. He put so much in these other side characters that when he did have Kurt, he never could grasp the character fully. So I'm kind of like, but I hope you're right. I mean, shit, if I'm wrong, I am happy to read wrong because I just want him to, well, I think it's less at this point about Kurt finding himself and more like Marvel editorial finding what the hell they're going to do with Kurt.
Agreed. And totally agreed.
Finding something that's helpful, good to read. It's good for his character, and they stick with it for a while, for God's sake, please.
Before we wrap up, let's talk about a little thing that you sent me in an interview that Spurrier did, which was, I'm trying to find it now. It was about, so they're going to have some, so they were at, he was asked about supporting players, and Spurrier basically said that there's going to be a romance. There's a romance. This comic is mostly a romance comic. So Kurt's going to be boning somebody or like freaking out about boning somebody and never actually boning them like he did with Christine. And he mentions that the object of Kurt's affection is one of my favorite characters in the Marvel canon. He's awesome. So who do we think it is?
I have a very good ear. Who it is. So if you don't want to be spoiled, fast forward like 10 seconds to like a minute from now, those guys listening. But it's supposed to be Silver Sable, which I think
about that character.
Yeah. So I think she's really cool. I don't know as much as about her as I'd like to. But she's a ton of fun. I think her and Kurt share a very similar moral code, which I think is really cool. She's very much a badass. She does all her own action. She can handle herself, you know. I think there'll be some, I think there's some fun things to play off with them. I would have never thought to put them together. When I saw that, I was like, oh, and I was like, she could actually be good for him though. I don't know how long, but like, she can definitely be good for him. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that's true. So I'm really excited to see it. That's honestly the main thing that it has kept me getting this book when it comes out, because I'm like, I would have never thought to do that, but that could work, even if it's okay. Just temporary. So,
yeah. No, I, okay. So I've never read a comic with Silver Sable in it. I don't know much anything about Silver Sable. However, the name was so familiar to me. I'm like, why have I heard of this character? Because I've never actually seen or read them. So I did a quick Google search, and oh my God, I was obsessed with the Silver Sable Marvel Masterpieces card when I was a kid.
Really?
Oh my God. Oh, Lauren, I gotta show you it. Have you seen it?
I haven't. No, I don't think so.
Oh my God. I'm gonna send you the copy. I'm gonna send you it right now. I thought she was like the fucking prettiest thing. Oh, I can't send you that. Okay, so I'll have to send you a link to it. I thought she was the, oh wait, I can just send it in Discord. What's wrong with me? I'm so stupid. I am such a boomer sometimes about it. I thought she was like the sexiest, hottest thing in the whole fucking world. I wanted to be her. Look at that.
Well, you know, there you go. Let me see. Yeah, she's fucking hot. She's, and it's interesting how, because they've kind of changed her like design over the last couple of decades.
Okay.
But it's not bad. So like, a person I follow who has like a Silver Sable fan page on Twitter, they also now like to talk a lot about Black Cat and Mary Jane. It's a whole thing, but it's great. But they've shown the differences. Like, hey, you know, back like in the 90s, Silver Sable was more of like a lean, muscular, like your kind of action hero movie looking woman. And now she's still muscular and she's still tough and badass, but she's like a little more thick, I guess, in like recent stuff, because she's in the Venom Lethal Protector series.
Okay.
The new one that's out. And I was like, that's pretty cool to see like those different interpretations of her body type, but she weighs the exact same amount too. They didn't change how much she weighs. It's just different distribution of fat and muscle. Either way, it's Silver Sable, you know, and it's just pretty, I think it's cool. And she's got the whole like, she's always fighting for the underdogs. Like she's always, you know, fighting to like protect the people in her country and all that. So her and Kurt share a lot there, I think, morally.
I love it. I think I'm down. I'm here for it.
Kurt's going to live your childhood's dream, not dream, of being with Silver Sable. How do you feel? Are you confused? Oh,
no, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Like she's already popped a bottle of champagne. She's ready for him.
Yeah,
look at that little bottle of champagne she's got up there. She's like, yeah, I got an extra glass coming, baby. Come on over.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun as long as Spurrier writes it decently. Please, sir, don't get us excited for this romance stuff and let us down. Please don't let us down, man.
Oh, dear God, please don't let us down. Yeah, but so Kurt's leaving the X-Men and we will follow him. We will follow him.
Yeah.
Follow him wherever he may go.
Oh my God. Wait. One more thing I wanted to mention that I really liked in this issue was, so when he says pretty much his final bye to Scott, is about to leave, he goes, Aurora, Storm, will have my vote until you guys vote on someone to fill my seat. And I love that, you know, he didn't give it to anyone else on that council. He decided who he wanted to go to, and he gave to Storm because, you know, they're the best of friends, essentially. They've been friends for the longest time, and they're just that level. So I thought that was really cool, and I think that'll make a huge difference, or could, depending on how written, in terms of, you know, the political quote stuff with Krakoa and the council, because now Storm herself has two votes.
Yes.
She technically has more power until that is filled. How long will it last? Who knows? What's she going to do with it? I don't know yet.
I think it's interesting he chose Storm over Kate, but that also could be, I mean, I think that Kurt has always felt more of a peer with Storm rather than, and like, I always felt like Kurt and Kate or Kurt and Kitty's relationship was more like a big brother, little sister kind of thing. So I could see why he'd choose Storm. But yeah, it's going to be interesting politically to see what happens with Krakoa and everything now that Storm has two votes and she's been butting heads with a lot of the people on the council. So it's going to be real interesting to see where that goes. I think it's, I am interested to see, did he tell Storm he was leaving and that she would have his vote, or did he just leave and he just ghosted everybody?
I feel like he would have told her, because like, here's the thing, if he's already like feeling kind of weird about the rest of the X-Men, because it's pretty clear to me that Storm is like one of the few people he really still fully trusts and really believes they will carry out what needs to be carried out. I don't think he would have trusted to just discharge Scott with that and for Scott to go to Charles and the rest of the council and say, by the way, Storm has two votes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he would trust Scott to do that. I feel like he would have had a brief conversation with Aurora, even if it's just, hey, I'm so sorry to do this. I can explain later. I don't have time. You have my vote on the council. I'll see you when I see your friend. Because, you know, they've been through way worse. She'll be like, what the hell? But okay, bud, you know.
In that case, I'd love to have seen that conversation, but it's only so much you can put in a comic, I guess.
Wouldn't we all? I would love to see more of that than the other whatever happened in that issue.
I can't even tell you. Something about Legion? I don't know. His hair?
All I know is that apparently, like, some other book earlier, Professor X said to him he was proud of him, I think, and now Legion is just all up his dad being like, to me, my X-Men, and I'm like, ugh. I don't want that. I don't care. Whatever.
Moving on. Ugh. Well, on that note, well, thanks, guys, for joining us again for another simply amazing day in this simply amazing neighborhood. I'm just tying it in now to your show.
I really love that, actually. I was not expecting it. I was shocked for a solid second or two.
I could see it, actually. Her jaw dropped and her eyes bugged out. And I was like, oh, my God, Lauren, I think you froze. And she goes, after like 10 minutes, she was like, no, I was just in such shock.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of editing this time. It was it's been tough, guys.
Yeah, we actually have been recording for 7.5 hours, and like,
God,
7 of those were Lauren just staring at me, slack jawed, in shock.
There were so many different takes. I had to do it because the first time Lisa's like, "Your jaw didn't drop enough. Try again."
And oh my God, girl, why are you turning it into like a production? Oh my God, no.
Then 7 hours later, I said, Lisa, nobody's going to see me. She said, oh.
That's true. It did take us 7 hours to realize that this is actually not a visual medium. So 7 hours and a year and a half. It has taken us that long. yeah, but thanks for joining us again. Lauren, tell them all about your other stuff, too. Tell them about the neighborhood.
Well, there's a nerdy neighborhood that so actually, on the note of Kurt, we just – let me pull up so I say the right name. So we just named our first school in the nerdy neighborhood. And actually, the people in the nerdy neighborhood, so like, you know, people like you and fans of the show, actually voted for it to be called the Kurt Wagner Academy of Swashbuckling and Enlightenment. So that's pretty cool. It almost didn't win, guys, but it pulled through. I didn't even vote because I always abstain because I run the channel, so I want it to be everybody else's. But that was freaking cool. It won. But we still don't have Kurt in the neighborhood. So y'all need to come, you know, actually get Kurt in the neighborhood because we've named something after him, but he's not there. And I'm not okay with him just like being accepted as like dead or something. Like
he should be like, he should be like superintendent of schools.
That would be so cute. And he'd actually be a good one. He won't just be some corporate creepy person.
Yeah. I mean, he does help run the school in Nocturne's world. So there you go. He's got the experience somewhere.
I love it. And then we got to get Nocturne in. And then we got to get Wanda in. So there you go.
Oh, my God. Okay. What would Nocturne be? Nocturne would be the corner weed dealer.
I don't know. Come into Discord. You're already in Discord, Lisa. Just start throwing ideas in there.
That's true. And what would Wanda be?
If you're on track or wrong.
Wanda could be like the owner of the local like co-op.
Maybe. I don't know. You could probably throw that in the Discord too. People would probably love to have some ideas for Wanda, since she's a more well-known character too, like up there with Kurt.
Yeah, no, she would be the one who's like running the co-op, and she's like, hey, did you get your hours in? If you don't get your hours in, we can't give you the discount. That's Wanda.
I love that. But yeah, so if you guys are hearing this, you're like, what the fuck is going on? You can go on Twitter, if you still use that, at MBHD Comic Show, and click the link in there. And you can see the Discord, you can see the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. It's a lot of fun. Come have fun. You know, there's lots of characters in the Nerdy Neighborhood now. We actually, well, they voted for our library, our first library, to be named after Gail Simone.
Oh, so that, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then Oracle Barbara Gordon is the librarian.
So. That's perfect. There you go. That makes sense.
Like that's her character. You know what I mean? So, that's but perfect. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You guys can find it there. I highly recommend join a Discord. It's just a lot of fun. It's also not so big that it's like terrifying to just jump in. You know what I mean? Or it's not as terrifying as some other Discords. And then you can find me on Twitter at FriendlyMBHDBI. If you want to hear me ramble about a bunch of shit, tomorrow I will be screaming about the new music video Miley Cyrus is dropping, because I have problems. Thank you.
We all have problems. Don't worry. We've all got issues. And I'm subscribing. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody. Well, go find Lauren. Go talk to Lauren about Miley Cyrus, because why not? And also come talk to us anytime you want. We are at simplyamazingpod.com. That is our website. We got one of those old web shots. You can come and find all of our socials. I try to update the website, but I've just looked at it today and I realized I haven't updated it since March. So I should probably fix that. But it's May. Okay. I mean, it's basically the same month. So whatever.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, come find us there. All our socials are there. Come find us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitch. We're on kind of on YouTube. I don't know. I might be starting pretty soon my Twitch streaming of Marvel Tarot reading.
Yes.
So I'm actually thinking about maybe later on today or tomorrow, I might set up some stuff and start testing it and seeing how I'm going to make it happen. But we'll see. That's in the cards as well, as they say. And the cards don't lie.
Da-dumps.
Ah, so yeah, come find us. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. Tell us you're always thinking about us, because we're always thinking about you.
Tell us what you think happened to Kurt's dick. Thank you.
Yes, please tell us what happened to Kurt's dick. And for those of you out there listening, it doesn't matter what she says about your dick, because you're still simply amazing.